This episode of the Autumn Windbags, we discuss exactly how much it would cost us to part ways with backup quarterback Marcus Mariota and send him to Indy, who desperately needs a quarterback. Speaking of losing guys, what is happening in the front office in Las Vegas? Executives are leaving, players are leaving. We'll debate and guess exactly what's going on there. And what does Nick Chubb's new giant deal mean, cha-ching, for Josh Jacobs, cha-ching, and his future, cha-ching, with the Raiders? All that and more. Plus, make sure you go to manscaped.com using promo code WINBAGS for 20% off and free shipping worldwide. And we love you subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. The Raiders!
Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is the Autumn Windbags. Let's have some fun today. We are just 40 days away from the Raiders' home opener, Monday Night Football, Baltimore Ravens, prime time, which means by the time you're listening to this, it will be at least a football day. We're recording this Wednesday night. The first preseason game is tomorrow. Football season, sort of, kind of, is officially here, baby. 40 days away from opening day.
Dude, it was like yesterday. We were like, yeah, we're 97 days away. And I said, listen, it's going to creep up. It's going to creep up. And now we're like a month and five and a half weeks away from opening day or something like that. It's creeping. Like RJ's freaking short shorts. It's creeping.
Speaking of RJ's wardrobe, I'm going sleeveless today in honor of Derek Carr. Guy's always going sleeveless. He's like, he throws the football when the cameras are on him in practice the way like stunt men in like movies throw punches. Like they flex the entire time, you know?
Yeah.
I got to practice that. Throw with just all flex when you're throwing, just bricked out. Maybe a little grease on there too. He's got it.
You know what? That might be the issue. Okay, that might be the problem because I watched a video of Derek Carr throwing a deep ball to Bryan Edwards, who had a full step. He was pretty much NFL wide open, and he still underthrew him. So he's flexing the whole time. It could have caused him to short dick that throw.
You can tell he only does that for like, you know, no pads practice when like the media is watching, because he's got one of the best deep balls in all of football when it matters. So like he's like, all right, let me flex a little bit during like practice. Let me flex a little bit.
When he wants to let it loose, he starts.
Yeah, one of the best deep balls in football. You know this. Real quick, did you see this? I follow Max Crosby on Twitter, and someone tweeted at him, "Raider Nation just got a little bigger." And then a picture of a newborn. Named my son Max, two X's, Clark, after you. Hopefully, one day he can be good on the defensive line as you. Would you name your kid? You'd name your kid after a Raider, right?
Yeah, I'd name my kid like Bo or Howie.
Because you can go like half-assed with it and just call him like Marcus or, you know what I mean? Like, they go, oh, yeah.
It's got to be distinct.
His name's Marcus, like, Soto Howie, after Marcus Allen.
You know that's motherfucking Howie Long.
Yeah, Howie works. Bo is, you know, again, are you sure it's not Howie Mandel? It's like, no, it's Howie Long. It's not so unique where the name doesn't exist in the wild, but unique enough where you can be like, you introduce him like as a three-year-old to Howie Long and say, here's Howie. He'll maybe shed a little tear on his eye, out of his eye, you know?
But what you have to do, though, is you have to get that iconic 87 flat top mud flat mullet combo. That was the sickest. So look, Bosworth stole his fucking look. Bosworth stole because Howie had the flat top first, and then he grew the mud flaps, the sick ass fucking mullet. So he had the high top mullet combo, and that was fucking legit.
That's why Bo Jackson ran his ass over in the end zone to get revenge for stealing his boy Howie for jacking his shit.
That's what I would do. I would name him Howie, and I would make him wear his hair with the flat top and the mullet in the back.
There was a good 4 minutes where the wife and I seriously considered naming our daughter when she was pregnant, when my wife was pregnant with our daughter. Mm-hmm. Autumn Wind Clifford.
I remember that.
We there was a solid 4 minutes when we were debt. We like it was seriously considered because Autumn, you know, obvious, you know, that's a girl's name, unique but semi common. Yeah,
I told you not to do it. I said don't do it.
So Autumn Clifford, there's nothing weird there. But once you throw in the middle name, it's like
Autumn Wind.
Okay.
Like when a sub teacher comes in, Autumn Wind Clifford,
and then everyone goes Raiders.
Down the hallways and shit.
Yeah.
Love it.
With our luck, she'd go to college in like Denver or something, and it'd just be
everyone would hate on her.
Terrible cost of admission. So the big news in the NFL this week, other than preseason football going on, is Carson Wentz injured his foot, needs surgery, and he could miss anywhere from 1 to 2 games to like 10 games.
10 games, yeah.
Like it could be a massive mess for him. So the Colts. It's you want to feel bad for him, but you don't feel bad for him. Like they have one of the best 52 man rosters in football. Yeah,
they're loaded.
They just can't get a quarterback.
Yeah.
They just can't get a quarterback. So they just keep signing these like short, expensive deals with these old veterans, right? It's Philip Rivers last season, Carson Wentz this season. Shocker beyond all shockers, Carson Wentz goes down again. He got hurt in college, obviously got hurt multiple times as a pro, got hurt in that Super Bowl year when he was like on his way to being like an MVP, Nick Foles,
Nick takes
over and Philly wins the Super Bowl.
Thick dick Nick.
And it's been just a mess for Carson Wentz ever since. So the Colts are thinking like, all right, we got a loaded roster. All we need is just a competent quarterback. Just competency is all we need to go for. Even bad quarterback play, they're still going to the playoffs, right? Like, all right, let's get Carson Wentz back to his near MVP caliber level. Mm-hmm. Bam, he gets hurt right again. How's it affect the Raiders? I'm glad you asked, because one of the most obvious guys to pick up is our backup quarterback, Marcus Mariota. And he's, I think it's conservative to say he's like one of the top three backup quarterbacks in football, Marcus Mariota.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely up there. He's
easily top three.
There's the Taysom Hill, whoever doesn't start in New Orleans. Yep. There's Mariota.
Depending on what happens in Chicago.
Yeah, whoever doesn't work in Chicago.
Right? Like, that could be. So, it's like, that kind of makes. But as far as, like.
Also the Niners, too. Whoever doesn't start for the Niners.
Yeah. But as far as, like, but I would also say, like, but even then, I feel like none of those teams would want to trade their guy because they don't know who their guy is yet.
Exactly. Right?
Like, you're hoping your rookie is going to be the dude. You're hoping maybe your veteran can find, you know, new legs in a new team or something like that. Like, finally, Andy Dalton will get his act together, whatever, right? Like, this is the, like, Marcus Mariota is clearly the only clear QB2, like the best clear QB2 in football. And for whatever reason, John Gruden's pretty high on Nathan Peterman. He gives him $1 million every season for God knows why. So, holding the clipboard, right? Marcus Mariota would make perfect sense on the Colts because, one, they've just been trying desperately to find a quarterback to like win something with this great 52 man roster. They just need one more good guy. And two, Carson Wentz gets hurt all the time. Like let's say Carson Wentz is the Colts guy, right? Carson Wentz, best case scenario for him, right? He finds a great team, jives with the coach. Everything's working with Carson Wentz. You still need a really good backup quarterback because of his injury history. Mm-hmm. Marcus Mariota would make a lot of sense as your short-term option and your long-term option. And that's, I think, what Marcus Mariota wants, too, right? Like, he signed a great deal 2 seasons ago, 2-year deal, big pay cut this season. His contract's, what, $3.5 million?
Three and a half.
Pennies. Pennies.
For a potential starting
quarterback. That's nothing. Do we trade Mariota to the Colts? And what would it take?
Yeah, I mean, I would do it because here's the deal. I really do think that our best chance of winning is with Carr. And even with Carr, we're a fringe, probably a little bit outside looking in playoff team. I'm trying to be objective here, guys. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to take my silver and black shaded glasses off. We're a fringe playoff team right now because we have so many question marks.
Yeah.
So many question marks up and down. If we had a little bit more stability and some of these questions were a little bit more solid, then I would be a little bit more confident in saying, yeah, we're a playoff contender. But right now, if when you add the fact together that Carr is our best chance, and even with Carr, we're a fringe playoff team. If Mariota has to play, we're probably not going to make the playoffs. Okay. Mm-hmm. So why not trade him away? Yeah, get what you can. It's probably going to be a mid-round pick for him.
You think that low? I think.
Yeah, it's not going to be anything crazy. No, there's no. You don't trade a backup quarterback for a second-round pick.
I think, honestly, I bet you we could get a second-round pick.
I don't think so.
I bet you we could. Well, here's why.
We gave away a starting center, the best center by PFF standards, for a freaking fourth-round pick or whatever.
Well, again, you also got to think time and place, right? Like negotiations, it's all about, like, you know, why does a beer at Rite Aid cost $2, but the same beer at Allegiant Stadium is going to cost us 14? Because it's a seller's market, right?
We got to pay for that building, baby.
Pay for that, right? That's $2 billion to fill it up. Who else are the Colts going to get? Who else can the Colts get to play quarterback for them for potentially almost half the season? Mm-hmm. There's nobody out there. Their backups are atrocious. Like, the Colts literally went into the season completely banking on Carson Wentz being the guy and staying healthy.
And here's
they had
the thing,
no plan B.
When you get that big of a window, two to 10 weeks or something like that, or 5 to 10 weeks,
yeah,
or some stupid shit like that.
It could be. It was a weird diagnosis. It was like could be out 4 to 12 weeks.
Yeah,
wide gap, dude.
If it's something
that's weird.
Yeah, if it's something that's minor, they would be a little bit more solid on the lower part. If it's like, well, we don't really know what's going on, but we know we have to fix something, it's probably going to be closer to the 12 than the 4.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hey, if we can get a second, I'm trying to think of, like, objective standpoint, I would go with like a third or fourth pick. But if we can get a second for Mariota, I'm down with that.
I think we can, because who are the Colts going to get? Like, you said, like, yeah, you're joking pre-show, like, oh, maybe Philip Rivers comes back. Like, they can't afford to pay Carson Wentz and Philip Rivers. Like, that's way too much money, right? Again, the $3.5 million that Mariota is worth is pennies. The one game he played in last season, he looked above average.
He looked good.
You know, looked solid, looked pretty good, almost drove us down to a win. And we're, like, preseason's already starting. Like, you don't have time to, like, develop an undrafted free agent. You don't have the money to sign, you know, Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill or whoever, you know, who doesn't play there or something like that. Like, you need somebody who can be a very competent backup, a phenomenal backup, and a decent to at least slightly below. Because all you need is a slightly below average quarterback for the Colts to maybe be all right. And that's
Marcus Mariota. Mariota's better than slightly below average. He's better than he's an average quarterback. He's an average NFL quarterback that has, if you put him in the right system, he could actually do pretty well. They have a good running game.
I think a really, really good GM and front office,
which they have in Indianapolis,
but they don't have in Las Vegas. So I was thinking about this, like, if the roles were completely reversed, right?
Oh, we'd have three firsts.
We'd be giving it right. Exactly. Like, if that's what would be happening, right? Like, I think of, like, the Carson Palmer trade, you know, years back. God. They're like, oh man, we're 4-2. Like, we can really do something this season. And they trade the entire boat away with a coach that's trying to keep his job for Carson Palmer. Plays okay, but, you know, we all know how that fell apart. Like, if this would be the exact type of scenario where the Raiders got, like, a trade wedgie by the Colts, because the Colts' front office is so good. The Raiders trading, they're terrible. If it were reversed, they'd be giving up, like, first to the Colts. But because it's going this way, watch. We'll get, like,
I mean, they've got, like, good deals. They've gotten good deals. They got a good haul for Mac. They got a good deal for Cooper.
That's true. Touche. When they have traded good players, they've gotten value.
Yeah, but when they trade for the players, fuck. Yeah,
going the other way, they've been rough. So maybe I stand correct.
The Steelers have raped us. The Steelers have raped us for wide receivers.
Yep. So, I mean, hey.
We'll see.
We'll see how it pans out. I really think that the value for Mariota, again, his cap, his ability to play.
I would
amazing dude, locker room guy. Everyone who's ever played for the dude loves him. Like, coaches love him, coordinators love him. He can run the quarterback. Like, he's diverse enough where you can do like a really simple package for him to get to start off. You know,
he's smart though. He'll be able to pick it up. He's a smart kid, and he's a very similar skill set to Carson Wentz. He's more mobile than Wentz is, but you know, that's a mobile guy with a big arm. Accuracy is suspect. They're like the same guy, except Mariota is a little bit more mobile.
So what would it take? Because it's valuable to have a backup in Marcus. It's like Derek Carr doesn't miss. He gets hurt a lot, but he rarely misses games, right? Yeah. In seven seasons, he's missed like
four games, I think.
Four games, right? That's crazy, right? Especially consider some of the terrible lines that he's had over, you know, early in his career. Like, that's pretty impressive, right? So it's not, you don't desperately need him, but God, that's a great cushion. Like, it's not like, you know, 2016 when he broke his leg, ironically, against the Colts. We're like, oh, season's over. Okay.
Well, that's screwed. Like, that's why he gets the ball out so quick. He had to learn to do it. He had to learn to get the ball out fast.
Don't want to get that ankle snapped again. If we can get a second, 100% do it. A third, probably still.
No, a third still 100%
Probably still pretty good. And then we'll finally find out why Gruden's been keeping Nathan Peterman around. He's like, I feel like Nathan Peterman's like a stray cat, and Gruden just keeps leaving like a little saucer of milk out for him. It's like, why do you have this cat always coming to this house? It's pissing around everywhere. He stings. I think it's pregnant. We're going to have kittens everywhere. Gruden just keeps giving the saucer out. Nathan Peterman keeps sticking around.
I think he likes to say with his Ohio accent, Peterman.
Peterman.
Nathan Peterman.
Good enough reason for me.
It's a Peterman.
Speaking of front offices.
It's weird. Something's going on over there, man.
There's something in the water in Vegas. There's something in the tequila in Vegas because there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
From the Las Vegas Review-Journal today, Raiders part way with not one, not two, three more front office executives and executives. I'm not talking about like secretaries or the dude that gets the bagels. Like, we remember was it last week or 2 weeks ago, the president, the president of the Raiders retired out of nowhere. Dang. Heading right into preseason.
Which was, you know, we talked about it. It's a little strange.
A little strange. But now there's a mass exodus.
Yeah.
Brandon Dahl, the Raiders vice president of strategy and business development.
So he's the right-hand man, but Dane's right-hand man.
Gone. Ed Villanueva and Aroxy Grant also gone. Villanueva was the club's CFO, chief financial officer. Grant was the club's controller. So we're talking about
all the money guys.
All the money guys. This is easily, as far as pure front office, like suits, like not Gruden, not Mark David, but like the suits. These are four of the six most powerful positions in the Raiders organization.
Those are
a corporate structure.
It's good money to work with money, and these are all money guys. So I'm worried with the respect that this just screams if Mark is anything like Al in this respect, where he wants to do what he wants to do and he wants everyone to be on board. Mm-hmm. If those guys were like the checks and balances type of thing, because I mean, Mark Davis just moved to Vegas. And he buys a fucking WNBA franchise. That's not very good business when you don't have any fans in the seats. You know, so you're not making any money off the stadium that you built.
Yeah.
And from all accounts, that was one of the little sticking points where they weren't really keen on him doing that. It just seems like they're getting overruled, or they're probably getting overruled a lot on a lot of the more sound what they feel is more sound and maybe more conservative financial decisions. And Mark Davis is like the crazy, you know, rich owner who just wants to do a bunch of wild stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's not the case, but it sounds like it, because when all the money guys take off at the same time and the owner is walking around with a leather white man purse and leather white belt,
you want to stick around just for the fashion advice. You know what I mean? Maybe not the driving tips, but how about some fashion sense? So look, I look at it a different way. I mean, when these guys have been around for a while, right? Like Like now that, but Dane was there for 30 years, obviously. All these other guys generally have been there for a while.
Seven, six, eight,
something like that. Yeah. So it's like, it's not like this is new and they're like, oh wow. It's not like Mark Davis all of a sudden went crazy.
Well, they never had money before.
They still don't. They still don't.
Well, they potentially have more money, but the thing is
they're sitting on equity, but they don't.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And
so this is what I think it is, right? So it's like, this is very common in corporate structures where when there's a new leader at the top, there's a new CFO or a new CEO, a new president, he wants to put his boys in the rank and file. Like he wants to do things. He wants to shake things up. And now that Dan Vitrelli is now like in there on the interim basis, what do you do like every good tyrant when you're on the cusp of accumulating power? You put your boys in all the other positions of power.
I got money now. I got money.
This feels to me like, and this is just pure speculation. I'm not in the building, but this is how it works with a lot of other corporations. This is how it works whenever
it works in sports. You get a new manager, a new coach, and he wants these guys
and a balance of power, right? To keep that, because remember, he's just the interim president right now. But if he can replace all these executives with his guys, that would really solidify him in his spot. Because now he's got the support of all the money guys.
It'd be hard to get rid of him because you have to get a whole new staff now.
Yep.
No, yeah, it makes sense.
And the part, now that's the really pessimistic way to view it. But the part that makes the pessimistic way to view it make sense is that the Raiders have made no comment on this. Like if it was all hunky-dory and there's like, hey, we just like this president. I always said when he retired, I would retire. So, okay, now it's my time to go. C'est la vie. You know, it's been great. There would have, like, that would have been, like, announced bigger. It would have been, like, Mark Davis would have had a comment. Like, there would have been more to it. As of now, in all fairness, this is all happening, in real time. Like, we're recording this on Wednesday night.
5 hours ago.
It's like 5 hours. This is, like, this afternoon, okay? So, maybe we'll do, like, an emergency show, like, later this week when more information comes out. But that makes me lean more pessimistic. Now, optimistically, it could just simply be that like that's just how it works in corporate structures. Is when
that's how it works
president.
With the Raiders. Nobody says shit.
Yeah, they're pretty tight.
On the way in or on the way out. Like when Amy Trask was a huge hire, the first woman executive. She was the fucking president. She was running the show, the money person. You didn't hear shit until she was hired.
Yeah.
So it's like they're very tight-lipped on the way in and on the way out. So, yeah. I mean, that hasn't changed.
So optimistically, just because there's all these changes and all these shakeups, it could be a good thing. Yeah. It could be a fantastic thing. It could be like, hey, here's a bunch of go-getters, a bunch of Harvard MBAs, a bunch of smart guys. Like,
well, we talked about that, about them not bringing in some new fresh meat and not just the old guy, all the old heads who've been there.
Mm-hmm. A lot of really qualified like Ivy Leaguers will take jobs that pay like a little less, maybe a little less prestige. Maybe, you know, you're not working at like a Google VP to work in sports.
Yeah, cooler
fun,
job.
Right.
Fun,
like,
yeah.
When you're talking about like the elite of our society, right. People that come for money, people that go to the Ivy League schools, people that have their pick of jobs.
Like you and I,
like us, right. Classy, you know, sleeveless shirt wearing motherfuckers. Sometimes they come from like old money. And they don't really care if they make $700,000 a year or $875,000. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not a big difference. It's not a giant deal to them. So like, hey, fuck that. I'm going to go work for the Raiders. I'm going to live in Las Vegas.
Yeah, right.
Work at this brand new stadium and be an NFL executive and tell all my buddies who I am and like show off like my box seats to the chicks I'm trying to bang in town. Like, you could get really, really good, overqualified people to work in sports. And so, again, optimistically, this could be a chance for them to hire a whole bunch of new, like, heavy hitters, young guns, new energy. Yeah. Who knows? Again, like, it's not 100% directly related to the play on the field. It's not like losing your head coach, offensive coordinator, offensive line coach, DB coach. It's not exactly that direct of an effect on what you see on the field. But there is always a connection to the culture and capability of the front office and how the rest of the organizations run and how it trickles down from there.
Yeah, it all works together. I just want one of those young execs to be like, baby, listen, is it my fault that the Crazy Horse 2 makes a really, really good roast beef sandwich?
No.
I go for the roast beef sandwiches, and they have great drink specials during the day.
Thank God Hooters has as good of a wings as they do. Right? So when you say you're going there for the wings, like, it's a legit reason. Like, I'm down for those wings. Like, ever since Rock Bottom here in Long Beach went out of business and disappeared, it's like the Hooters might have the best wings in town now.
Legends are good.
Legends ain't bad.
Hooters has really good fucking Arnold Palmer too. They're freaking lemonade and iced tea mix. I don't really drink alcohol, but their mixes.
It's just a great functional place to eat because they give you that whole entire paper towel roll.
Yeah.
And you can just rip that off. Like, oh, excuse me, miss, can I get some more of your cloth napkins? No, just rip off 8 things of those paper towel rolls.
Always got a game on.
All done. Yeah, games on.
They're not trying to be something they're not. Look at my tits.
Yeah.
Look at my ass. Fucking, you know, say some fucking borderline HR.
Come sit in the booth with us. Rub your right cheek against my left cheek. You'll get your big tip. We'll have fun. Go home, jerk off. It's a great night. It's a fantastic night.
Table.
So that's the executives that the Raiders lost. Raiders lost some players. They lost.
This is a little weird too.
Now these ones make a little bit more sense to me. Maybe you're onto something and I'm not, but these ones make more sense to me. So the Raiders lost 3 players leading into their first preseason game next week. Sam Young retired this week. Journeyman veteran, 34-year-old tackle, gone. James Oluwalu retired. Linebacker that rarely saw the field, didn't even suit up every time.
Yeah, he wasn't healthy scratches regularly.
Yeah, I mean, but he's only 26, so that was kind of weird. And then Theo Reddick, this one makes the most sense, Theo Reddick, because
he's making a lot of money. He wasn't going to see the field. He's probably going to get cut. Maybe he didn't want to go through the whole thing again.
And he just got COVID. Remember, like that was the thing. Yeah. Like, he got COVID, and he's like, okay, I've made my money. I'm older. Like, running backs, like, at this age, like, they're just hanging on by a thread. Like, he's waking up every morning, ice bath, like, painkiller. Like, okay, here we getting too old for this goddamn shit, right?
Sam Young was kind of weird because he had just re-signed. He was a free agent. He just re-signed, and then he didn't even make it out of camp.
So Riddick makes a ton of sense. Oluwalu. Is that how you pronounce it?
James Oluwalu.
He retired, but he was like the most irrelevant. But you're right. Like, the third one in a row is the most curious one. Sam Young. I mean, again, 34. It could easily be just nagging injuries.
He was maybe hurt a lot.
Hurt a lot. I mean, the Raiders practice at 7 a.m. to beat the heat, but by 9:30, it's 100 degrees outside.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's 100 degrees out there.
Vegas is going to make sure. It ain't Napa, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Vegas is going to make sure if you want to play, if you want to be there or not. Because if you're having a little bit of doubt, that sun beating on your neck, that'll make it happen.
Yeah. The optimistic way to look at it, and kind of the way I think of it too, is maybe like Sam Young just sees, like, he's like, all right, here's my last chance. I'm going to try to be a starter. You know, there's a rookie at right tackle, our left tackle. Like, he's had a little bit of an injury history. Maybe Colt Miller's out and I can find my spot. And then maybe he's just getting in there with Leatherwood. And I know the Raiders are high on Jared Jones-Smith, that other tackle that they brought on.
Yeah.
Maybe he's seen these two young bucks and he's like,
nope,
I'm never going to see the field.
I'm never going to see the field.
Why am I
here?
Yeah,
like, I'm going to bang my head against these guys all year and never see the field. I don't want to do it. Yeah, that initially, that's what I thought of with Sam Young. Is he's like, hey, you know what? Let's get this go at it again. Go one more time and see if I can hit the field, you know, and be a contributor. With the more competition on the team that we have at different positions, he's just like, you know what? I'm not going to hit the field. I'm just going to sail off into the sunset, make it on my own terms.
I think the only guy upset with two of those retirees, Riddick and Young, is Gruden, because of how much he loves old guys, you know?
Oh, he loves them.
So, like, he's got – although our running back core doesn't really need a veteran I call it, like, the Jason Witten role, where you're just, like, a veteran, good locker room guy that's just taking up space just to bring up the young guys. Running backs don't really need it. Jacobs, third year, doing great. Kenyon Drake, veteran. Jalen Richard, veteran, right? Like, you know, you don't really need a guy. It's always nice to have that in your locker room in general, but you don't need it in that specific room. In the offensive line room, Richie Incognito is going to be the leader now. Colt Miller's becoming a leader now. There's a lot of familiar faces in there. Like,
good.
Yeah, like is Young going to be like that big of a deal? No. But it does feel like I can see John Gruden being like, damn it. My super young team is just getting younger and younger and younger because all of these veterans are bouncing.
Yeah.
What does it mean for depth and all that?
Brandon Parker
is now kind of sort of your number one swing tackle, right?
He's not bad on the left side, man, but on that right tackle side, he's not good.
Hopefully, you know, Jones Smith plays as well. Like is as good as like the, you know, coaches are saying. And again, we say it almost every single show, but like if any position coach deserves the benefit of the doubt, it's Tom Cable.
I trust him. So
he can coach these guys up. He can move them around. He can put that offensive line together with duct tape and baling wire and make something out of it. Yep. They weren't that great last season, but for how injured they were, they played pretty good.
Yeah.
Linebacker, he barely saw the field. No big deal.
Nah.
Running back is also not an issue either because, look, Josh Jacobs, Kenyon Drake, Jalen Richard, Jacobs makes the least out of the three of them, right? Like, Richard's making $3.5 million coming up this season. And he and I don't even know who Garrett Groshek in the depth chart. I don't even know who that is. So that's our number four. That's our number four running back. I don't even know who he is. The fourth running back can literally just be like a practice squad guy or literally someone you pick up. And like undrafted free agent, like off the couch. Like it's so easy to find cheap running backs. And oh yeah, Alec Ingold could fill in too. You know what I mean? If Jacobs goes down, Drake goes down, and it's just like Richard, like Ingold can pick up a lot of that slack too. So like I'm not worried. The last thing I'm worried about on the Raiders roster is running back depth. That might be the thing I'm least worried about in the entire squad. Speaking of depth.
And old guys.
So like the average age of the Raiders went up a little bit here. He's not that old. Gerald McCoy, multi-time Pro Bowler, missed all last season with injury. 33 years old, defensive tackle. I couldn't find the terms of the contract.
I don't think they're released yet.
I didn't see anywhere. I don't know if it's released.
Signed this afternoon.
Just signed today and Wednesday when we're recording it. I mean, if it's like the rest of the defensive tackle lines where it's like 1.5 mil, 2 mil with maybe some incentives, great. Roll the dice, low risk, high reward. Because he was a baller when he was in his prime.
Dude, even his last healthy year in 19, he had 35 tackles and 5 sacks. Mm-hmm. If he does that here, he's going to be by far our best defensive tackle, our most productive defensive tackle. And he's shown that when he gets playing time, and he played all 16 games, started every single game for the Panthers that year. He signed a big contract with the Cowboys, and he got hurt. This shit happens, you know. So he looked in great shape from what I read. He just knocked the Raiders' socks off. He looked in great shape. He looked nice and quick. And hell, man, if he could come back, and look. When you don't draft very well and you don't build your team from within, you don't build quality starters from your draft, you have to take flyers on guys like this. Guys are coming off injury, guys who may be on the downswing of their career. Maybe if you put them in a specific role, they'll be productive. But this is the kind of signing that can really tip the scales in the favor of the Raiders' defensive line as opposed to the opposing offensive line. He's a guy that needs to be accounted for. He was a big time player, a guy that needed to be double teamed. One of the top defensive tackles. He's more of a pass rushing defensive
tackle. From 2012 to 2017, he made 6 straight Pro Bowls.
Yeah. Dude was a baller, man. He's a little bit older now and coming off injury, but you know, coming off an injury, you get working on his conditioning, working on his shape. He should be pretty good. He looked like he was in good shape. And, like I said, if he's anything like he was in 19, it's going to be a great win for the Raiders.
Cowboys signed him after he was cut
he was a cap casualty, by the way. It wasn't because of his play.
Well, they signed him to a pretty decent deal. Got hurt, cut him. That was 2 seasons ago, all out last season while he was recovering, floating around. No one picked him up for whatever reason. Now they got him here. It's just so funny to me that completely opposite approaches that the Raiders had with defensive tackle versus defensive end. With defensive end, there's like biggest splash signing, Yannick Ngakoue. Bam. Here's $22 million, two-year deal. You're basically guaranteed at least eight sacks this season. Ngakoue, just bam, big money. We know what your job is. One guy we sign, go. Defensive tackle, they're like, all right, here's 34 guys. Hopefully a couple of them land. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I go to the casino, there's like a lot. I really like blackjack because I'm such a like conservative, like boring better. Because you're never going to like win huge, but you're also like probably not going to lose 30 hands in a row, right? Win, lose, win, win, lose, lose, double down, win. Like it's pretty safe and you're kind of safe and progressing. And then there's like Keno, where it's like $2 and I'm trying to win $10,000, but the odds are tiny, right? I feel like instead of them, like Yannick Ngakoue is the blackjack, where it's safe bet, gonna deliver, you'll be good. And then the Raiders at defensive tackle, they're just like, all right, I'm just gonna buy 50 lottery tickets.
Yeah.
And hopefully one of them cashes in for me.
Solomon Thomas, Quentin Jefferson, like all these dudes who used to be ballers. Who, yep. You know, I mean, maybe not Solomon Thomas, but guys who were, you know, good players. We'll see, man. I mean, the Ngakoue made a lot of sense for a couple reasons. The Raiders wanted him for a few years. He just couldn't get the deals done. Mm. And he's a Gus Bradley. And
it was a great deal, dude. For 2 years. For what he's guaranteed to deliver. Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. Yeah. And, you know, it was the biggest need that we had on the team was rushing the passer. And that's his specialty, what he does. So,
and Bradley needs that. That's why these two signings are huge. And I'm going under the assumption that that McCoy is going to be fine and healthy. If he plays like he plays after his first couple years, when he didn't really play well his first couple of years, but after that, it's been like five sacks. It's been his least amount of sacks he's had in a year. Mm-hmm. So Gus Bradley, his defense revolves around being able to get pressure with your front four and not blitzing. Yeah. So you need to have a defensive tackle that can rush the quarterback. So it's perfect fit.
And Bradley needs a lot of bodies because he wants those guys fresh, right?
He does. He rotates them. You're going to play.
End is figured out, right? Like you got, you know, Ngakoue, Crosby as your two starters. Hopefully Nassib gets his act together, plays up to his $9 million deal.
Those are the four guys.
Farrell's an above average end on running downs. He's fine there. Rotating those guys in that defensive tackle. Bradley's like, all right, just give me all these options and then I'll cut it down to my top five guys. And we're just going to rotate those boys.
Yeah.
High motors, high energy. Whatever they don't have in like skill or football ability, we're going to make up in cardio and just rock.
Yep. Which
it's, you know, for a defense as bad as the Raiders, it's a good time to experiment, right?
Yeah, right.
Nothing's worked in the last 20 years. Let's try this.
Ears back and get the running back on the way to the quarterback.
Just show me a motor. That'll get you on the field. We'll go from there. Support for the Autumn Windbags is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming, champions of the world. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, 4.0. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped.
Wow.
With this exclusive offer just for Windbag listeners, 20% off. That's $20 out of 100. That's 20 cents out of a dollar. And free worldwide shipping with the code Windbags at manscaped.com. So I'm hopping on a plane tomorrow to go to Houston to work the UFC event, Black Beast versus Surreal Gone Paper.
That's guaranteed swamp ass right there. Houston.
I got to make sure I am trimmed down there. Probably go check out some Houston strip clubs as well.
Oh shit.
So
yeah.
I got to make sure I'm good down there. So I'm thinking, all right, sweet. I'll bring my Manscaped. I'll make sure I'm nice and trim. Wait a minute. We've all seen Fight Club. Do I want to bring an electric razor on a plane with me?
Don't do it.
Cause if it clicks on, they're going to be like, oh, someone's got a vibrator or a bomb or something wrong. Little trick with the Manscaped. You click the button 3 times. It goes into travel mode. So you have to click it 3 times again to get it back on. 0% chance it'll just bump in my luggage, turn on, start vibrating. People think I have a vibrating butt plug back there. Nope. Best possible shaver to travel with. It works great at home, even better on the road.
Perfect. Look, with the weather heating up, guys, got to keep your situation trimmed down there. I've tried a couple other things. I've tried the old school freaking razor. I've tried using the hair clippers down there. It just didn't work out. The Manscaped works great. I love the freaking two things. I love the light, really helps out. And you can use it in the shower, which is a game changer for me. That's where I do a lot of my my work.
Beating off? Oh, yeah, shaving, yeah.
That too.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code WINBAGS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code WINBAGS. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. So one of the like least fun debates that goes on in football now is the value of running backs, because I see no gray area so often. It's become such a polarizing topic.
Yeah.
Either running backs are a dime a dozen, they're completely useless, never ever pay them, don't even bother drafting them, don't worry about it. Or like, these are the guys that can change our offense. These are the guys that touch the ball as much as almost anybody. These are the guys who could change the direction of our franchise. And so when Nick Chubb from the Browns, one of the best running backs in football, behind one of the best lines in football, who we will be playing this season, we go into Cleveland. Are we coming?
No, we're going to Cleveland again.
We're going to Cleveland, right? So we got away game last season in Cleveland, away game this season in Cleveland. They're not a problem for us because he held those motherfuckers to 6 points, if you remember last year. But everyone else might have to worry about Nick Chubb. $33 million deal. So a little quick breakdown for you. 3-year deal through 2024. Signing bonus, $12 million. Nice chunk of change. And then his base salary, less than $1 million, and then $3 million, $1.2 million, and then $10.8 million. So
that's cut year right there.
That's the cut year right there, right? So that's why it's always like, oh, what is it really? I mean, it's really only guaranteed $17 million for the first 2 years. That's basically like the true guaranteed money for Nick Chubb. But still, you know,
$17 million. That's $17 million
for over 2 years. That's pretty good money. So that made me think like, okay, we're going to have to pay Josh Jacobs at some point. Mm-hmm. Or don't we? What does this tell you about what the running back market is, what it will be, and what it means for our bell cow first round pick, Josh Jacobs?
I think that universally, this has been true throughout the NFL. Mm-hmm. Teams are willing to pay running backs if they're like the elite level running back.
Yeah.
That's when they'll pay them. Even if, like, for example, for us, if Josh Jacobs is elite to us, he's not elite for the league. And we know we can find, he's very good. I'm not saying he's not, he's a very good running back, but he's not one. He's not an Alvin Kamara. He's not a Christian McCaffrey, or a Nick Chubb, or help me out here, my favorite one, Derrick Henry. He's not one of those top four guys. He's not. Those are the four that you need to pay.
Yeah,
those four guys. And I think that's it. Everyone else gets a Drake-ish type deal. That's what you should get.
I like how Kenyon Drake is like your standard bearer for a contract, and he's our backup. Like, yeah, that's super Raiders for us, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I think. Jacobs is going to get a similar deal, maybe a little bit more because he's a starter or he's been here longer or whatever, but he's going to get a similar deal to that. Maybe a 3-year, something like that. Maybe around the, instead of the 3.5-ish he'll make maybe like closer to 4, maybe a bigger signing bonus or something like that. But it's not going to be anything close to this. If they do, it's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Fucking nuts if you do that.
So if there's any coach that's going to do something nuts with the running back,
it's Gruden.
John Gruden, right? Drafted a running back in the first round, highest paid backup running back in football. I think Jalen Richard has to be the highest paid third string running
back.
He's
by far the highest paid third stringer.
$3.5 million. I mean, and again, it's like, Richard's obviously fantastic, right? Best blocking back, great out of the backfield, great pass catcher, great leader. Like,
he ain't anything special as far as across the league.
The $3.5 million for what he's doing, I'd be like, all right, great backup running back. Really solid. Love it as our number two guy. Number three guy behind a first rounder and an expensive 2-year deal with Kenyon Drake. our running back room is getting really, really expensive. So with that aside, right, let's say between now and what? Maybe after next season, they can make a decision on Jacobs, but at least, you know, at least one more season, probably two. We got to make a decision on what to do with Josh Jacobs. Assuming by then John Gruden kind of figures life out, or like someone buys him an Excel spreadsheet and a calculator, like tells him how dollars work. Let's say he does the smart thing. Like all these big contracts signed by all these running backs, how many teams have actually been happy with that signing? I'm looking up the top five biggest running back contracts ever. This is after, you know, before Nick Chubb, right? Outside of Chubb, the top five running back deals ever. Adrian Peterson, you remember the $96 million deal?
That was huge.
Massive. 7 years, huge deal. The Vikings didn't pick up his last option because he was falling apart, right? Le'Veon
Bell. The Vikings also gave him like 300 touches a year, too.
Yeah. They ran him ragged, right? They were getting
the money's worth of. That's like going to a Chinese buffet, like, motherfucker, I'm going to get MSG poisoning up this motherfucker.
Yeah. Except for a Chinese buffet, you're paying $7.95 and you're still like, all right, I'm going to try to make money on this. I'm gonna get $20 worth of Kung Pao chicken on this $8 I spent on this
crab leg night. You're spending $20.
Yeah. The fourth biggest deal, Le'Veon Bell. Remember that 4-year, $52 million deal?
Crazy.
That was nuts. No way the Jets were happy that they bailed out Pittsburgh. There's no way they were happy with that deal. Todd Gurley with the Rams, that completely fell apart.
That was a fake deal, though, dude. That was like a just for show type of deal, because
it had like $45 million ish in guaranteed ties. Like, not again, it was complicated, but it didn't even get close to that to be.
It wasn't
done.
Even 2 full years. He didn't even have 2 full years.
Gurley still thinks he's owed money on it. Like, he's like, that's how like complex and how like quick it was done. Right? Ezekiel Elliott, 6 years, $90 million. You think the Cowboys are happy with that deal?
No
way, Jose.
Hey, well, I just looked at something real quick. Latavius Murray signed a 4-year, $14.4 million contract. That's $3.4 million a year. And Latavius Murray is a whole hell of a lot more productive than Jalen Richard.
Yeah. But he's not as complimentary to what Jacobs does as Richard does, right? Like, he's not the great, like, perfect third down back type of thing. But you're right. Like, he's better. And now the most expensive contract, Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Who spent all of last season in rehab.
In rehab.
So you look at the top five deals, the top five contracts by running backs, and like ever, I would say maybe half of one made sense. All the other ones, Christian McCaffrey, it's still too early to tell, but he's injury prone and he's making a ton of money.
Well, I wouldn't say he's injury prone. He got injured 1 year. He got injured. Mm-hmm. The other years, he was a fucking stud. So let's not hang that on him just yet. But yeah,
so,
I get what you're saying.
So three of them just fell apart. Peterson, yeah. Bell, Gurley, they completely fell apart.
Peterson fell apart after they used him.
They got some money out of him.
They got their money's worth out of his ass. I mean, I'm not saying they did.
Elliott, there's no way the Cowboys are happy with what they're paying.
Nope.
And then the jury's still out on Christian McCaffrey. So the history of these big running back contracts don't look great. They really
don't. That's why
don't
you don't do
great.
It. That's why you don't do it.
And
man.
Especially look. Nick Chubb, $33 million. You got Kareem Hunt as your backup. You got the best line in football. Like, not the best line in football. Like, one of the best lines.
Top
in the,
three,
in the
top
AFC,
four. Yeah.
Way up there, right? So again, rewinding this all the way back to how does it affect the Raiders? I've been saying it literally for as long as this has been a podcast, as long as we've been on YouTube. I don't want to pay Josh Jacobs, and I don't think we should because it just never works out. And this isn't a anti-running back, never draft them, they're trash. No, but if you're a first rounder, pro bowler, and, you know, make, you know, rushing to, you know, 1,000 yards or so a season, you're going to ask for a $30, $40 million contract. And
you don't even give them 20.
The Raiders, I think, should trade
$5 million a year.
The Raiders, I think, should trade him after this season. Hopefully he has an amazing season. Trade him for a buttload of picks. Trade him for, you know what I mean? Like, we'll have Kenyon Drake again next season. We'll have Richard next season. You're telling me we can't for a a fourth the money of what we'd have to pay Jacobs, get someone that plays 80% as well?
Well, I'm saying try to work out, try to do a Colton Miller where you extend him a year early.
Yeah.
And try to get him to a good contract for the team. Hopefully what they did with Miller is they keep that first year the same as it would have been if they didn't extend him early, and then have the extra money kick in after that. If you can't do that, yeah, I agree. If you can't, and what, before everyone starts going fucking nuts with their emails and their comments and all this shit, I'm not saying the Raiders need to get rid of Jacobs or he's not good or he's washed up or whatever. If you can't sign him during this year or after this year, if you can't sign him to a club-friendly extension, you have to look at getting some compensation back for him. Because I'm again, he's not an elite of the elite type running back that you need to give this type of money to.
Again, I love Josh Jacobs. I'm so happy he's too. A Raider, riding with him. No complaints whatsoever.
Great story, hard worker,
but the guy. Raiders have to start understanding value. They have to start understanding what a draft pick is worth. Not, oh, this means I can go get my guy. No, it doesn't mean that. Like, if I have $100 and I invest in mutual funds and I get $113 back, that's smart use. If I have $100 and I go shove it into the butthole of a stripper, that doesn't mean that $100 is now worthless. It just means I spent it poorly. Josh Jacobs, you've got to sell high, buy low, right? We're buying low with all these defensive tackles, hoping it lands. I have no issues with any of them. Low risk, high reward. Josh Jacobs, same thing we did with Amari Cooper, same thing we did with Khalil Mack. When the market says to keep this guy, you have to pay him Cooper $20 million a year. You have to pay Khalil Mack. You make Khalil Mack one of the highest paid defensive players ever. When the market says that's what they're worth, but they're not worth it to you, you got to move on from them when their value is the highest. And when Josh Jacobs' value the highest will be after a really, really great season this season. Hopefully he goes the entire season without getting hurt. He's splitting carries with, you know, Drake now, he's still got Rashard, whatever, and this, like, whatever practice squad dude that's now the four-string running back. The line gets their act together, he plays well, right? Like, he shows great, he's playing great again. He's got three back-to-back-to-back seasons of really good play. His value is high, still on his rookie deal. He's still young. Remember, he didn't get beat up in Alabama like a lot of college running backs because he was even the starter at Alabama, right? So teams can say, oh, here's a fresh guy, a veteran guy. He knows what he's doing. He thrived in Las Vegas of all places on the Raiders. That's when you make your move. That's when you trade, when the value is high. And sometimes that's also when you could use him, but that's the whole point. Like, if he was worthless to you, he'd be worthless to most people. That's when you make your move, when the value is high. And especially when you know you're not going to pay a guy like Josh Jacobs $11 million a year or something, like, if that's what the market dictates.
Yeah. So I agree with you, but there's certain positions when you have an elite player that separates themselves. Like a Khalil Mack, I still don't think we should have traded him. We should have figured out a way to pay him because he's an elite player. He still is an elite player. Mm-hmm. And you don't have a big jumble of guys who are like, oh, these guys are all about the same. If you get number 6-7 running back in the league, he's about the same as the 15th, 16th, 20th guy. Like, those guys are all about the same, just, you know, a different system, a better line, stuff like that. They're going to produce about the same. So that's the difference, is you can find guys at running back to produce, to be productive, a lot easier than you can find guys like a Khalil Mack.
Yeah. Khalil Mack's
That shit always, that it still stings to say his name. It still stings. Like I feel like I got broken up with.
That's the high school cheerleader that you banged when you were in high school, like the captain of the cheerleading team, and you peaked in high school, and then she's like, now she's gone, married to some
I'm not gonna VP say her name,
Morgan Stanley.
But I hooked up with a freaking chick in high school.
No, and you didn't.
Everyone would have been shocked, absolutely shocked, that this chick was like a good five levels up. And I never said anything because, you know, I'm not that kind of guy.
She had a dick.
Listen, she had a sweet dick. But dude, I felt like I got broken, like Mac broke up with me. That's what I feel like.
It did. It was a breakup, but I still think it was the right move for the fucking treasure trove of picks and cap space we got. Now, we didn't use those picks well, but we got the treasure trove that we needed. We got time to do this defensive ranking, or do you want to go right to Winbacks?
Let's do the defensive ranking.
Let's do it. Let's do it. So the Athletic, it's where I go for most of my football.
Kicked us in the dick again.
The Athletic did the rankings of all the defenses heading into 2021. You know, rankings are fun. It's a good conversation starter. It's a good way to discuss stuff. And they ranked the Raiders the 27th defense expected to be in 2021. So obviously the Raiders were at best 30th defense last year. Could easily have been the worst. Could easily have been 32.
Hey, man,
depending on what metric you used.
Without that fucking, that weird fucking Browns game, we could have easily been 32nd.
Yeah. Holding the Browns to six that one time, and then those two halves that we held the Chiefs scoreless.
Like, yeah, it's fucking weird.
That's crazy. The weird glimpses of greatness that we showed in very, very specific moments. You know, a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then, right?
Yeah.
So they ranked us 27th heading into 2021, which is an improvement. Although I would take that. A minor one. Here's what Kapadia had to say from The Athletic. Gus Bradley comes from the Pete Carroll tree, and if history is any indication, he'll employ a cover three scheme that will count on a four-man pass rush to get home. Bradley will be tasked with getting linebacker Corey Littleton to make more plays than he did last year, and he'll have to find a role for safety Jonathan Abram that masks coverage limitations. On paper, the Raiders are talented enough to be better than this ranking reflects. I've been duped before and need to see it to believe it.
I 100% agree.
So this is where she nailed it, right? We've said it every week. The potential of this defense is higher than where they've been, than any other, in relation to where they've played, than any defense in football. No defense has the talent, the experience, the resume, the draft pick order, the raw ability that the Raiders have, and still be as terrible as the Raiders have been. So I can understand with what the Athletic is saying. It's like, okay, your defense isn't that much different than it was last season personnel wise, and you were trash. So why am I always trying to hope, pray, and guess that you're going to be improved? To which I say, again, for the millionth time, our entire season comes down to, can Gus Bradley turn this defense full of expensive free agents and first rounders into something that's remotely competent? But it all comes down to all our hopes and dreams, our entire season, which is now 17 games long, all comes down to, can Gus Bradley turn this motley crew into something that can stop a guy every now and then?
I see Corey Littleton playing better than he did last year, just because he's going to have a more defined role. Because the one thing that we don't talk about as far as Gunther's scheme, he was mixing coverages and mixing schemes as far as his responsibilities for the players. And everything was available. So you could have one type of responsibility or scheme on one play, and another play you could have something totally different to do.
Yeah.
And that's not really how Gus Bradley runs his defense. He runs his defense as a little bit more vanilla, but you know what to expect. You know what you need to do if you're on a good Gus Bradley defense. Jonathan Abram, from what I've read, he's going to play that more the undersized linebacker role. Which is, I mean, fine with me. Keep him out of coverage, deep coverage at least. But I mean, like I said, there's too many question marks to be able to say, oh, yeah, this is going to be the 20th ranked defense. I think it's fair. I do think 27 is low, and I think maybe it's low for me because I don't want them to be 27. But realistically, yeah, there's a lot of question marks here.
If this was a court of law, I could not present to you. Oh, the Raiders flag went down behind you. That's a bad sign. That is bad luck. Go fix that sign.
Fuck that
shit. Go right now. I'll carry the show. You go fix that, Soto. Don't put that bad juju on me, Soto. You don't put that bad juju on this show. You fix that sign. I'm going to get you a nail gun. You're going to make sure that's definitely on there tight. Soto, you didn't hear me, but I'm going to get you a nail gun to make sure that never happens again. That is a bad sign. It's like spitting on the Constitution, having that Raider banner go down mid-show.
God damn it.
I completely lost my train of thought because I flipped out. What up, Winbacks?
Let's do it.
Sean Tuttle. Gunther is the senior defensive assistant for the Minnesota Vikings currently. So last week, we're talking about Gunther. And we're like, oh, yeah, wherever he is.
No one's going to give him a job.
Right? He's like playing like, you know, he's like being the water boy for some Pop Warner team or something like that. And, you know, when like an ex-girlfriend that you really miss, you like check out their Facebook. You still follow them on Instagram. You still like, you know, when you drive by their house, you kind of look every now and then. The ex-girlfriend you don't care about, you don't do any of that. Gunther is the ex-girlfriend that I don't care about. Right. Find out where he is. It literally took, I did not want to spend the 9 seconds of time it would take to just Google search where he is now.
I didn't do any fact checking on this either. I didn't look. I was like, all right, cool. He's there.
He's gone.
It makes sense. Zimmer's the head coach. He has a background with him with the Bengals. He maybe has a sex tape on Zimmer, so he gave him a job. I don't know what the fuck.
Yep. All the other, like most of the other Raiders, I'm kind of like the good ex-girlfriend. I'm always wondering how Khalil Mack's doing, always keeping up with Amari Cooper. You know, you brought up one of our running backs a minute ago. Like when I hear their name, my ears perk up like, oh, how they doing? You know, because rarely they didn't leave under shitty circumstances. Like, oh, I hope they're doing well. Well, Gunther, I'm not even wasting energy to like wish him bad in whatever he's doing.
He can be the president of the United States or he can be living in a ditch. I don't give a shit.
I wouldn't care. Thank you, Sean Tuttle, for pointing that out. Ryan Gunn.
Ooh, I love that name. Ryan Gunn.
That's why I'm wearing the sleeveless, because Ryan Gunn show is in the house. Is it a stretch to say the secondary will easily be the most improved unit this year? I think not. I love this debate. And maybe we should have saved it for like a full segment. But I love this topic because I will say that no unit has more potential to improve the most than DBs. But I still think the linebacking crew is going to be our best unit yet, because I have to imagine Corey Littleton, when he's no longer in a complex Paul Gunther system, he's able just to be him. Let Gus Bradley, let him run loose, will be great. They finally committing to Nicholas Morrow. Morrow's been like one of the most consistent defenders on our team for multiple seasons.
And they're getting better every year.
And now he's getting better every year. And they're finally like, oh yeah, this undrafted dude, this like Division III college guy is actually pretty good. Let's play him. Right. And so I think they're in the best position to improve the most, because they've showed the most signs of improving the most. The ceiling for the DBs are through the roof. But again, like, what sign have they showed us that they're going to improve? Right now, it's just hoping they fulfill their potential without much evidence.
So here's the deal. Ryan responded to us kind of turning our nose up at Gruden, saying that the secondary is going to be the strength of our defense. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a different argument. So he did something really sneaky there. He slipped in a different argument. So is it a stretch to say that the secondary will easily be the most improved unit? Well, I think they very well will be, because they only have to be competent to make the biggest leap.
Yeah.
You know, they just have to be okay. And they've made the biggest leap from god awful to just okay. If they're just okay, then they made the biggest leap.
If Jonathan Abram's only the second worst safety in football, he's made an improvement.
Hey, it's one up.
All you got to do is improve a little bit. Last one, Chris Briggs.
These are some good names today.
Right? Briggs, Guns, Tuttle.
Tuttle.
At year 8, you are who you are, because this is who you said. This is what you were saying about Derek Carr. Public enemy number one in your eyes, the person you hate the most last show. At year 8, you are who you are. Remember Gannon. Career journeyman before Oakland, 34 years old, MVP. I feel like this question is directed square on you, Juan Soto the first.
Yes. He's just proving my point. Name another one. You know, how many guys have gotten to that level? He got to that level 1-2 years maybe, and that was it. The other guy you could look at is Kurt maybe Warner. Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
That's it. There's two. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, who else?
Well, guys can move systems and see big jumps, right? Like, I bet you, like Stafford at the Rams this season, right? Like, what is that going to look like?
Dude, that's his team. His team is so much better than he had with the freaking Lions.
Yeah.
That's just not him. That's the entire organization is an upgrade.
But that's how you judge Derek Carr, is you shit on Derek Carr because we don't.
But that's not what's happening with Carr. He's not going to a different team. He's here. This is his situation. So if you want to say that Stafford is going to make a huge leap staying with the Lions, then that would be something comparable. This is not the same thing.
What about momentum? Like, you're saying you are who you are. Like, he's gotten better and better and better every year under Gruden. So you're saying, like, those improvements are now going to stop? Like, he's reached his ceiling? Is that safe to say?
Well, the thing is,
he's improving every season.
Here's the difficult part about that. How do you measure better? Because his stats were comparable to his 2016. They were better, but comparable to 2016. So that's 4 years. So it took him 4 years to get back to that point. Has he maxed out? How is the offense going to be different? You have a new offensive line, a new running scheme. You have two running backs, maybe a more run heavy offense. Are his stats going to look better? Mm-hmm. We don't know that, but is he going to be a better quarterback? Is he going to be able to command games a little bit? Is he a little bit more game IQ? Who knows? That's the thing, is we have to first define how are you going to define a better season?
Is Derek Carr going to be able to rush the quarterback or cover a running back or play bump and run defense against a wide receiver?
Because
you're going to judge him by how we do next season and the defense is going to suck, and you're going to blame it on Derek Carr every season.
No, because that's the same horseshit that a lot of these guys on the freaking comments try to pull. Oh, well, he has this and his defense like this and that. And what the fuck's his name? My fan club president. He's like, because I said, I'm talking about, someone said something about, oh, well, his defense would be better or whatever. I said, you know what? I'm not talking about wins and losses, because now people are going to start mixing arguments. I'm talking about Derek Carr's play. Derek Carr's play is his play. And then whatever, I'm spacing right now, but he said something
your
about
hatred oh, for well, Derek Carr is making you see red.
No, it's not that. Anymore. It's this dude. It's, I forgot. He always kills me on this board, which is fine. I like that you're involved.
He's like a smart guy.
Yeah, and he's like, oh well, that's great analysis. His play is his play. I'm like, well, yeah, Dick. Oh yeah, that's his name, Dick. His name's Dick. Dick Vitale. So that was fucking perfect. So his name is Dick Vitale. Okay. So
subconsciously, your brain knew who it was. It just needed you to speak in swear words.
Dick, I'm giving you a fucking shout out, Dick Vitale, my fan club president. Pete, when you mix arguments like that, you have to be clear on what you're trying to establish as the argument. His stats, are they going to be better? Now, if the defense takes a total shit, but he still plays really well, that's his play. I'm not talking about wins and losses here. I'm talking about his play. That's what I'm talking about.
I never heard you once in 2016 say Derek Carr was an issue because we were winning. And he was better last season than he was in 2016. I'll leave it at that. Until next time, knock on wood if you're with me. Thank you for listening to the Autumn Windbags. We really appreciate it. Make sure you go to manscaped.com for 20% off using promo code WINBAGS. Plus, you get worldwide shipping, which I know you love. Also, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel so you can see our beautiful faces to go with the beautiful sounds you hear in your ears. Until next time, later.